Thanks for being with us at KCRW. I'm Matt Gillum. Westside City Councilmember Mike Bonin, having just successfully fended off a recall effort, surprised many last week when he announced he would not be seeking re-election come November. Ire and vitriol are increasingly part of the job when it comes to politics, but Bonin said they had come to dominate and he needed to step away and focus on his family and his own well-being. It was a difficult decision to make, and here to share more about how he came to it is District 11 Councilmember Mike Bonin. Thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, first off, I mean, how are you doing?
I'm feeling great. I thought that having made my decision, I might have some regret or remorse in the days afterwards, but I am relieved. I'm excited. I'm inspired. And I think I very well may be the happiest man in Los Angeles politics right now.
Well, I mean, that is good to hear and good to know. But you've always been very public about your struggle with depression. You've never shied away from it. As politics has seemingly gotten more heated with people shouting you down at community meetings and even showing up at your house, I mean, what sort of toll does that take on someone's well-being across the board?
You know, I'm not entirely sure that had the heaviest impact upon me. Yes, it's annoying to have people outside your house shouting, and, you know, particularly difficult when you see your neighbors being bothered by it, or, you know, my little boy being bothered by it, or my husband being bothered by it. But in some ways, you know, that sort of stuff actually revved me up for the fight. You know, I've never shied away from a fight, and I like a good battle of purpose and principle. And so in some ways that revved me up. I think I was more bothered not by that kind of stuff than by the constant multi-level talk radio, social media, conservative news outlets, a narrative machine that constantly was putting out false information about homelessness or about me or about my policies or about what we're doing. That, I think, was far more of a frustration than, you know, the incidents. I think it was more the misinformation dynamic.
Do you think that misinformation machine, as you termed it, has that ramped up in recent years? Did it not used to be like that?
Oh, man, it has totally ramped up. I mean, when my predecessor was in office, you know, there were a couple community newspapers, and that was the main source of information. Now there are so many different ways that people get information that, as an elected official, you don't even know what people are saying for most of it, because it's in a next door group that you're not part of, or it's in a private Facebook group, or it's then being amplified by, you know, conservative talk radio folks. And it's false information goes out there and it gets very prevalent very quickly. And it is a new dynamic. And not only is the dynamic new, but the tenor of it is new. I mean, the level of vitriol we have at the national level is now pretty much the deal we have at the local level. And that's not a good thing for democracy, period.
Well, I mean, on the political front, you faced a recall attempt recently. The campaign lasted about 4 months. I'm wondering how you coped on a personal level as you knew, you know, this misinformation was out there and the people were actively seeking your professional ouster.
Oh, lots of different ways. I mean, I've also shared about the fact that I'm in recovery. So, you know, continued 12-step meetings were important. I really got a lot more serious about my meditation practice, spending time with my family. Every day, at least once, I make a gratitude list, things that I'm grateful for, because it directs your attention to the positive. I hike a lot. I represent an area with some beautiful hiking trails in the Santa Monica Mountains. And one thing that really took me out of myself and brought me a sense of purpose was just going out and doing homeless services or visiting people in the interim housing that we provided to get them off the streets. All of that was really meaningful and uplifting.
Well, walk us through the decision process that you went through to reach the conclusion that it was not going to be right for you to run again in November.
Yeah, you know, I guess it's sort of presumed that most elected officials will just continue to seek re-election or seek another office, you know, until they keel over. That's never really been my thing. I gave it serious thought at the end of my first term when I've run again. And at the end of my second term, or looking towards the end of my second term, I really didn't have that opportunity because the recall came up. And so you're in fight mode. And when the recall ended, I finally had an opportunity to start thinking about what I want to do next. Do I want to do, you know, another year of a campaign and then another 4 years of this? Or do I want to start having sort of the next chapter of my life? So when the decision came down, I started going through that process. And, you know, I thought a lot about the toll it's taken on me and my family. I thought a lot about the decision that Simone Biles made to put her own mental health first. I thought a lot about what Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms said after she decided not to seek re-election. You know, one of the things she said is she was turning 50 and her dad had died when she was 55. And she said to herself, if I have only 5 years left, is this how I want to spend it? And I'm turning 55. So I asked myself, you know, a very similar question. And a big factor for me is I have a little boy who just turned 8, and I've had the blessing in the middle of the coronavirus curse to be home with him for dinner and bedtime almost every night for 2 years, because my meetings have been on Zoom. And when I thought about the prospect of going back out and spending all that time away and then 4 more years of evening and weekend meetings, I realized, you know, when I'm done with it, he'll be 13 and then he probably doesn't want to talk to me anymore. So I wanted to, you know, maximize this precious time I have now with this precious little kid.
So when you made the announcement that you were not going to be seeking re-election, I mean, what was the initial response you got from your colleagues?
I've heard from most of my colleagues. I haven't heard from some of them. Oddly, our council leadership has not reached out, but most of my other colleagues have. Most of them have been very, very supportive. A couple of them expressed a little bit of jealousy, wished that they were able to do the same thing. I did not talk with a lot of them before that. There's a couple members of the council that I certainly have talked to that we share a common struggle. But with a lot of them, you know, I've been open about being an alcoholic and I've been open about having lived on the streets. And, you know, some of the people I work with still give me booze for Christmas and still vote to criminalize homelessness. So they weren't the ear I was looking to talk about mental health issues with. But a couple of them, have been really phenomenal. The people that I'm close to. My main sort of outlet for discussing this was a couple close friends and my family. My husband was a real handholder through this process. He's an amazing guy, and you know, my 8-year-old has a ton of wisdom, and he said, "So, you know, Dad, what are you going to do next?" And I said, "I haven't figured that out yet." And he said, "Well, you really like helping homeless people, right?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Why don't you get a job in construction?" Because even at 8 years old, he gets it. Housing ends homelessness. So I'll count that as a victory.
Lot of wisdom in that 8-year old.
Yeah.
Was it difficult for you to say, you know, this is what's right for me, and prioritizing that over a powerful job at City Hall?
Well, like I said, it was not an easy decision. It's something that I really did struggle with. And you know, giving up the direct power of being on the council was certainly a consideration. But ultimately, I have faith that there are others who can step up and do the same kind of work. And I've also really been struck. I've been an activist for a long time. I was an activist before I was an elected official. I was an activist back in college. You know, and back in the 80s, among progressive activist circles, the idea of self-care was not something that was real. But the young generation of activists that have come up through Black Lives Matter, through the Sunrise Movement, they put a premium on that. And I actually learned a lot from this younger generation of activists about how important that is. And I'm really inspired by the leadership they'll be providing coming forward. And, you know, I really believe that I will be, while I will have less power, I will have a more of a positive influence in the direction I want by starting from a place where I'm happy, I'm taking care of myself. Makes it a hell of a lot easier to change the world from there.
In terms of your political work and what you've been able to accomplish while you've been with the city council, I mean, you've been passionate about finding humane ways to get LA's unhoused sheltered. Are you at all concerned that your departure could have consequences for that major issue that's so close to your heart?
Yeah, that was actually something that weighed on me very heavily as I was making my decision. And ultimately, you know, I came to the realization that when you're about to take off on an airplane, they do that safety thing. And they talk about, you know, if the oxygen mask comes down, you put it over your face first and then over your kids, because if you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of anybody else. And that principle was pretty true here, I thought. And I am inspired by a lot of progressive voices that are coming up in Los Angeles, and I hope we can get some of them elected. I will be working for them. And I also, you know, realize that I have I still have a platform and I still have a voice, even when I'm done. And I'm going to continue to use that to advocate for the things I believe in, particularly on homelessness. You know, a lot of elected officials ride off into the sunset and become a high-priced lobbyist for special interests. I've not been a typical elected official, so I won't be a typical retired elected official. I'm going to stay engaged, and I'll just be finding different ways to fight for the things I believe in.
You still have 10 months on the job. What are you looking forward to accomplishing in those remaining 10 months before it is time for you to bow out of the council?
So for the coming 10 months, what I want to do is house and help as many people as possible. I told my staff the other day after my decision, we narrow our scope now. We figure out what we can get done before we go in terms of community projects. And then we focus on the projects and the programs and the legislation that will do the most to get the greatest number of people indoors and on track to a better life. And I'm looking forward to doing a lot of that.
Before I let you go, I just want to ask on a personal level. I mean, you know, you are not alone in your fight with depression. About 1 in 10 Americans faces some form of it. Do you have any advice for people out there to help manage it or to power through? Or what do you suggest? What's really sustained you and helped you through your dark days?
Well, I think there's a couple of different things to point out. One is a lot of people themselves do not appreciate that mental health is something that they need to pay attention to. A lot of people just have this mentality that you need to power through it. A lot of people think that depression means you're just really sad, and so they don't even recognize that they have depression. I would encourage people to really look at what's going on. Are they feeling happy and alive? If not, ask yourself why, and give yourself, please give yourself permission to take care of yourself and put your mental well-being, your physical well-being, yourself first. If you can't give yourself permission to do that, I will give you permission to do that. You have permission to take care of yourself, and then take whatever steps you need to, whether it's seeking professional help, as I have done, or do things like more physical activity or talk therapy or meditation, things which I also do. There's lots of different ways to get well. And we all owe it to ourselves to imagine and then create our best future.
We've been speaking to Mike Bonin. He represents District 11 on the LA City Council. Really appreciate you helping us better understand your decision. Thanks so much.
Thank you.